The power of Christ, he experienced the power of grace, he experienced the voice of God speaking to him. Out of weakness, he came to me. I'm so glad I'm weak. You know why? Because when I was worshiping God just now, the Lord spoke to me something that I never thought of. It is in our weaknesses that will spur us to know Him. Because if we are strong, we don't need Him. But when we are really weak, we need Him. And when we depend on Him, when we say, Lord, please help me, that will draw us near to Him. And as we draw near to Him, intimacy is developed. I'm so glad I'm weak tonight in Christ. And one of the musicians brought this article. I didn't know she brought this article. I saw it on one of the seats. It was on Times Square Church Pulpit Series by Dr. David Wilkerson. And you know what it entitled? And I said it was prophetic. He said, faith without intimacy is no faith at all. I said, thank you, Lord, tonight truly. You want me to speak about intimacy. He goes on to say, you know, the result of intimacy is not only a close affection for the Lord, but also an ever-increasing detachment from this world. If you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Amen? Would you turn your Bible with me tonight to Exodus chapter 32? Exodus chapter 32 and verse 34. Therefore, now, go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day that I will visit their sins upon them. Now, notice in verse Exodus 33 and verse 15, then in verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If your presence, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, do not go with us. Dear Jehovah, please don't bring us into the land of Canaan. And he goes on to say in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And would you also turn with me tonight to Psalms 63? Psalms 63. Verse 1 is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. O God, thou art my God, only will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee. In a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. Why does David long for God? Why was there a burning passion in his soul? Look carefully, he says, and he began to narrate his innermost desire in verse 2. To see thy glory and thy power, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know why David was hungering for God? He said, I have seen you before and a taste of the glory and the power. And that's why I cannot have anything lesser than that. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. A taste, a touch of your goodness, your mercy, and your loving kindness. And then he says in verse 8, my soul falleth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Why why do we need to have a sense of intimacy renewed in our soul? Why must we run after Jesus? The only way I can describe it in the most simplest form of the answer, you remember in John 15, he said, I am the vine, and all of us are his branches. He said, if you do not abide by me, the result will be that you will wither. And when you wither and die, you will drop off from me, and men will throw you into the fire as firewood. Remember? Fish can only survive in the medium of water. A plant or a tree can only survive in the environment of the earth or the soil. Without the soil, the tree will die. Because the tree is rooted in the earth and draw everything from the ground. The tree abide in the soil, the fish abide in the sea or the water. That's why they survive. Likewise, for the spirit of man, if we detach ourselves from our lifeline, which is Christ, we will wither and we will die. And that's why Moses, when he was 120 years old, he was not old. His eyes were not dim. His strength was still very strong. Why? He was attached to the vine. He didn't die. Actually, he can live for a long, long time and he will never see death. Because he was attached to the vine. In other words, tonight, the day you stop abiding in Jesus, the day you stop walking closer to Jesus, spiritual decay, spiritual degeneration will start in your soul and it will rot in the flesh and will age. That's why I believe when you love Jesus, you are going to look younger and younger. You're not going to look older, you're going to look younger. Amen? I believe 10 years from now, all of us is going to shine with the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So therefore, why do we need intimacy? Because we need Him for us to continue our existence on this earth. He is our longevity pill. Without Him, we will age very fast. You know, the spiritual free radicals will eat us up and we will decay fast and we will rot fast. Amen. Amen, we need Him. You know, that's how we sing a song in Psalms 91 verse 14. Remember how he suffered? He said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I, Jehovah, will deliver him. That is an intimacy scripture. Am I right? Because he set his love on me, therefore I am obligated to be his protector, to be his protection, and I will deliver him. And because he honored me, which means that he set his love on me, I will lift him up on high. Promotion. You want promotion in life? You want God to lift you up high in the society, high in the ranks, in the kingdom of God? Love him. Intimacy is a sure way of promotion in the kingdom. Amen? Now, question. How do you set your love on him? Because you know the results, you know the fruits. You will get deliverance, you get protection, you get salvation, you get promotion. But the question is, how do you set your love on him? Interestingly, the word set in verse 14 comes from a Hebrew word, sheif. And what sheif is very interesting. It means what? To put on an attire. Like me now, I put on an extra coat tonight. To put on an attire. Put on the garment of love, and he will deliver you. How do I put on this garment of love? Do you remember Luke 24:39? Where they were walking out of Bethany, Jesus blessed them on the way of ascension. He's saying, as you seek him, you will be endued with power from on high. Remember? The word endued means to put on a garment. What garment? The Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Ghost is that diamond, that endowment, that cloak of love upon our life. You know what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The mission of the Holy Spirit has only one supreme agenda, and that is that if He lives in your heart, there is only one supreme intention, and that is to fulfill and complete the first commandment in your life, that you, as a vessel of God, will love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with might and strength. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes doesn't make you a Spider-Man, something super. No, the Holy Spirit comes to make you a lover. That's why He comes to be the cloak of love. So when you have the Holy Spirit wearing you, putting the desire in your heart to love Jesus, and when you have the Holy Spirit in an intimate relationship, truly you have the grace to set your love on Jesus, and truly the result is He will deliver you, He will protect you, He will lift you up. Amen. Your name will be known internationally all over the nations of the world. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to have intimacy? Amen. Now, here in Psalm 63, a very interesting thing that I mentioned. How do we then develop intimacy with God? If you know that the result is wonderful, but how do we develop intimacy? David gave us the key. And the key is found in verse 1. What he says in verse 1? Oh God, thou art my God. Only when I seek thee, my soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, I want to provide that verse into three parts, because in that verse you have three keys on how to develop intimacy with God. That is the three parts. We're going to subdivide it, and we're going to start from the back part of verse 1, which is, my flesh longs for thee. What is the meaning of that? My flesh. It talks about your body. Right? Your flesh is your body. Your body must be involved in the pursuit of Christ. Number one. Then number two, he said, my soul thirsts for thee. Your soul, the three parts of your soul, your will, your emotion and your mind must also get involved in loving Jesus. And then he goes on to say in the first part of verse 1, the true I is a human spirit. Truly will I seek thee. There you have the three keys on how you can have a love relationship with God. Firstly, you get your body, you get the soul, you get the spirit, the tripartite man. The three compartments of the human being, the whole man, the whole heart. The whole existence was a only one God, and that is our one God. I want to see Him. I want to see His power and His glory. The question is, oh Pastor, I know, but yet I did it, but yet I don't find God. I don't see the manifestation of His power. I don't see the invasion of God's glory upon my life. I don't see Him in a vision. Why? Why don't I have a breakthrough? Here you have the answer. He says in verse 1, my flesh runs for thee, right? Do you know the word flesh? It comes from the Hebrew word, kamah. And kamah means a deep, intense, inner desire. It talks about the deep yearning of your heart. You love it and you love it. Some of us, we love God, but we don't love it very badly. He commands, it. It's like in the flesh. You know, in the flesh, when you want something, we call it in a negative sense, we lust. We need to have a spiritual positive connotation. We must lust for God. You say, Pastor, you cannot use the word. Oh, don't you remember James chapter 4 in the King James Version? He said, the spirit lusts after to envy you. Chapter 4, because you love the world and God is a jealous God. So we must have a spiritual, if you put it in the right sense, lust that we say, God, I want it to be. Amen? Secondly, it says, my soul thirsts for thee. This word thirst in the Hebrew is the word some, not ame, not a singer from Taiwan. It's some. Some means very thirsty. How thirsty? This word some is described in Exodus chapter 17, verse 3. When we were walking in the wilderness for 3 days, there was no water to drink, they were able to die of thirst, and when they rebelled against Moses' leadership, they said, we thirst. That's the word some. Are you thirsty so much that you say, God, without you, I'm going to die. I need you. Without you, I cannot survive. For us, we survive because of the American dollar, the Singapore dollar, and our shares. But can we say, God, without you, I cannot survive? Truly tonight, I was made conscious that in my weakness, I need him. Without him, I cannot survive. I was very conscious because of the last song. He says, you know, in my weakness, he is my strength. Suddenly, I have a revelation. And I say, yes, in my weakness, you came to me. Amen. And finally, he said, early will I seek you. That's about the spirit man. Now, the word early and the word seek where, it came from the same Hebrew word. And what's the Hebrew word? Shaka. What is shaka? Shaka means earnest diligence. Shaka, render. In other words, tonight, have you seen the intensity of those three Hebrew words? Shaka, Samay, and Kira. In other words, the intensity in them to learn him. You will never have the breakthrough. That's a guarantee. That's the thing. Give it. And it thinks of the power of God. But how about you tonight? In your own intimacy, you must believe. Don't pay me. He came. That reminds us of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. It was all the witnesses of Paul because of the thorn in his flesh that he experiences. But now, he said, I will use my whole being to work for God. If you do, you will find him. Now, how do I know you are real? That you are even God? Or you are bluff? Verse 8 say, my soul, follow hard after thee. Interesting again, the double play of the same Hebrew word repetition. In Hebrew it's like this. My soul, the buck after thee. Twice. Same Hebrew word. The buck means what? To abide. The buck means to cleave. The buck means to pursue. Can you imagine? You know the word the buck, pursue, you know what it means? It means two things. Now listen very carefully, it means two things. As if you are like a hunter pursuing after an animal. You hunt it down. You pursue after it. The other meaning of the bar is, you are the animal and God is pursuing you. In other words, the love relationship is this. You first hunt him and later he hunts you. Yeah! You look for him, you draw my end to him, and later you draw my end to you. So let's hunt for Christ. Amen. Now the interesting about the bark. You know how rich the Hebrew words are. You know what the bark means? The bark means to cleave. Now cleave is an old English word. The modern English word we call super glue. Stick together that cannot unglue. That's the word cleave. My soul, stick to God like super glue. God, you cannot shake me off. Too bad, I'm a super glue. Are you aware that you have a stickability? You stick on to Jesus and say, Jesus, you cannot shake me off for the rest of my life. I'm with you all the way through. I'm one with you. Stickability. ability. God, what's wrong? No, I still love you. Whether you bless me or you don't bless me, I stick with you for life. Like a woman that's faithful to the husband, they stick on to the husband for life. But the most interesting thing about the bark, it means cleave. You know what cleave means? The better picture of that, in our Singapore culture, we have the Indian curry. You know, in the Indian curry ingredient, they put the coconut, they put the curry powder, the Moroccanese, right, if I pronounce it right, and then the cinnamon, and everything put together, and they cook a big pot, and suddenly, when you taste the curry, all the ingredients have cleaved together, it becomes one. You can say, let me taste the cinnamon, let me taste the coconut, no, it's all one. When you are one, in one thing, you want him and he wants you. God is after you and you are after God. When you and him are one, I tell you, there's a clear sign that you have hunted him down and he will hunt you down. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? And therefore, if you say you love God, sometimes you cannot play a game. Because if you really want God, you are on a hunting game. You hunt. You are serious. You look for your prey. And you go after it with all your might. And you're looking for the prey. How? You release your hunting dog. Holy Spirit, please. Where is Christ? If I want to put it in a very raw sense, I'm not here to belittle the Holy Spirit. But just put it in the sense that we can identify with the picture. Amen? Now, there's another picture. Why? We need intimacy tonight. Would you turn with me to Numbers chapter 17? I'm not sure about you, but I'm enjoying myself tonight. Numbers chapter 17, verse 7 and verse 8. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness, and it came to pass that on the tomorrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and bloom blossoms and yielded almonds. He's saying that the rod from the house of Levi, not because we wear Levi jeans, he said, you put all the rods before the ark. Before the ark, first of the rod, living before God is a picture of intimacy. Not in the outer court, not in the holy place, but in the most holy place. Right before the face of God. That's intimacy. The face-to-face encounter. And there, when you abide throughout the whole night, which is 12 hours, as the rod of Aaron representing the life of the high priest Aaron himself, abides for 12 hours, and the very next day, the result of the intimacy is growth. His rod begins with a supernatural bubble. I tell you, even if you are dry as a desert today, if you are dry like a gobi desert, I tell you, God can supernaturally cause a blossoming in your soul. He said, I can never be fruitful. I tell you, if you abide before the presence of God, your rod represents your life, you are going to bud forth, you are going to have fruits. You are going to plenty of fruits, it will blossom. Your life will be a day of blossoming. You have flowers, you look beautiful, you have fragrance. He said, when will it come to pass? He says in verse 8, tomorrow it came to pass. In a short while, when you abide in the presence of God, it came to pass. When you abide in the presence of God, tomorrow, the very next day, something happened to your life. What is it? A rod that's not planted in the soil can never grow. But yet in the presence of God, it grows. Right? It speaks of a supernatural miracles. I tell you, you will live a supernatural life, seeing supernatural miracles, supernatural provision, supernatural workings of God when you abide in the presence of the ark. Isn't it wonderful? Amen? Now, with all this now, let's come to our main text. John chapter 20. Would you turn with me to John 20? The first day of the week, verse 1, cometh Mary Magdalene early. Notice those who seek God early will always find Him. How early? This early, you see, before dawn. That's how early. If you really love Him, the first day of the week, the very first waking moments of your waking hours, you seek Him. Amen? Where it was yet dark, probably in our Singapore culture, 5 o'clock, yet it was still dark, Mary was up. The lover of Jesus was up. Unto the sepulchre, and see the stone roll away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and come to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet ran he not in. Verse 6, Then came Simon Peter following him, and ran into the sepulchre, and see the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his feet, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Verse 9, For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. Verse 11, But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. She stood down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, I know not where they have laid Him. And he said that, as she said, she turned back and saw Jesus coming and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, we can go on until verse 18, but because of time, you go back and read. Let me describe to you the scenario and the background of this story. Three persons came on the day of the resurrection of Jesus. Last month we talked about the death on the cross. Today we talk about the resurrection. At resurrection, there is a place of intimacy. At the cross, there is a place of intimacy. Now in the resurrection, three persons came to the tomb. Who are they? Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. We knew it was Apostle John. Now three. Why? This three Bible character speaks about three persons who seeks after God. And this three person who seeks God have three keys that we can learn from today. Simon Peter, he heard about it, he ran, but he didn't run as fast as the other disciple. But later he came, he was second place. He ran, and he ran into the tomb, he saw everything, he ran out. That's Simon Peter. Now what does Simon Peter represent? Simon Peter represents the impulsive Christian, but it also represents someone that is swayed by the emotions. He's very emotional. Anything he, on an impulsive note, he just run and do it. He acts before he thinks. So he's a person that is swayed by the emotion, an emotionally charged person. Who is the person? Generally speaking, we identify them as the women. Women, you do things out of the signal and the dictates of your emotions, right? Women are very emotional. You know, that's why women are the greatest lover, because they love passionately, they love emotionally. Men cannot. So I salute you, you are the greatest lover in the body of Christ. Amen? Now, they are women. So they represent the emotion. They run. They go by the feelings. That's the women. But how about the men?
The man is represented by the other disciple named John. Why? The Bible says he ran faster than Peter. He ran to the tomb. His lumpy stopped. He stood there. He surveyed the whole ground. He looked within. Peter, but he never went in. Why? A logical, rational-minded creature like men. Men think logically. Men use a lot of his mind to understand God. Amen? So he looked, using his mind, he analyzed the whole situation. Definitely, Christ had risen, right? That's how he risen. But then notice something. That represents man, but a beautiful thing is that he went in later. And he went in, the Bible said, in verse 9, he saw and he believed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, you believe with your heart. In other words, this man not only used his mind, he used his heart. That speaks about the born again renewed Christian. That your mind is renewed. You don't just use your mind to know God, you use your heart. He saw and he believed. Amen? Tonight, if you are renewed, you will believe. You don't question, you don't doubt. That's the second person. Then we have the final person, Mary Magdalene. This true Bible character speaks about the tripartite compartment of a man. Simon Peter speaks about the body. John speaks about the mind, the soul. And Mary Magdalene speaks about the inner man of the heart, which is the human spirit. And Mary Magdalene came. And two disciples praying came out and told Mary Magdalene, yes, Jesus is gone. Let's balik kampung. Go. Notice, he didn't move. She didn't move. Men say, go. Jesus is not around. She's not moved. She still stood where she stand minutes ago. She was not moved by what she heard from men. Intimacy is when people tell you, why do you want to seek God? Come on, let's be more natural. Don't be so heavenly minded. Let's go bowling. Let's do something earthly. Come on, you're not a man from Mars. But this woman said, no. My innermost being said, I need to see Jesus. I will not leave this place until I get the answer. Psalms 63. My soul longs for him. My flesh longs. My soul thirsts. My heart seeks. It was intense. He said, nothing can shake me from my conviction. I want Jesus. Now, here comes the most exciting part. When the disciples went home, she was alone. Do you know the way to prove that you really have intimacy is when you are alone? When no man wants to follow you, prayer meeting. After prayer, everybody go home, but you still stay on. That proves that you are real stuff. When she's alone, she still continue in her seeking for God. And suddenly she stood down, looking, and that's what she saw. She saw two angels. Two glorious angels clothed in white, shining white, glistening garment. One on the head and the leg and the feet of the Jesus position. They say, women, why weepest thou here? Don't you know that the Lord has been taken away? After men discourage her, the angels come and say, go home, sister. I'm telling you, Jesus is no more here. The shocking is, no, I will not move from my conviction, even though you are an angel. Sorry, I still stay. I want him. My God, if two angels stand in front of you and say, go home, oh, yes, sir. This woman is real. Nothing can shake her. Her heart is steadfast, fixed on the Lord. That's why in Exodus 32, we just read in verse 34, God said, alright, you want to go to the end? No problem. I send my angel as my deputy representative to go for you. Lord, you got it wrong. I don't want your angel to be my bodyguard. Even if angel go with us, we will not go. Can you imagine if an angel stand in front of you and say, shall we go now? Can you imagine if an angel stand in front of you and say, shall we go now? Bao Biao, right, body God, let's go. But not for Moses. I'm not interested in your angel. And that angel was the angel of the covenant. He said, I'm not interested in your angel. How bold. For us, said the second verse, angel, okay, love, let's go. He said, no. You know what he said in verse 33, verse 15? He said, unless your presence go with us. If you don't go, we are not moving. Look at Moses. I don't want an angel. I don't want second best. I want you. That's why the message is entitled, Only You. That is true intimacy. If you go with me, I will go. By the way, Jehovah, I want an extra request. I want to see your face, your glory. And he stood there. Matthew 6, her conviction, she stood there, and guess what? You know, in John 20, it was read by a very famous prophet by the name of Dick Mills. You read Dick Mills before? Dick Mills from America. He's a prophet with a photographic memory of 2,000 verses in her mind, in his mind. When he quotes scriptures, he gives words to people. He just shoots scriptures upon people's life, and it was all accurate. You know what happened? Dick Mills one day was reading the scriptures, and the Lord said, let me enlighten you what actually happened and took place on the day of resurrection. He said, yes, sure, Lord. He says, you know something? I was actually risen. I was not on the earth. I was gone. The angel was right. I was gone. I was up ascending into the clouds, into the very heavens. When I was to reach the pearly gates of heaven, I heard a cry. I heard a running of a woman. The touch and move the reins of my heart. I was about to sprinkle the blood upon the ark of the covenant in heaven. When I sprinkle the blood, then you will be, my God will be your God, my father will be your father, and I will be one of your brethren. That's what Jesus said there. He was about to sprinkle the blood. That's why he came back. He said, touch me not, because I am like a high priest. I need to sprinkle the blood. Don't touch me yet. I can talk to you, but don't touch me. You know something? Jesus told this prophet, he said, when I was about to reach heaven, I made a U-turn. My goodness. Jesus was on the most important mission. The ultimate redemption of the whole mankind was here on his shoulder, and yet we make an U-turn. If you are on an important mission and assignment, do you make U-turn? You don't make U-turn. If you are on the ultimate mission, you don't make a false move. But yet Jesus made a U-turn and come back and say, Mary, my goodness. Ponder deeply. You can't have a breakthrough. You can't see Jesus. You don't feel the praise, the glory of God. I tell you, God will make you turn for you when you are wrong. You said, I'm wrong. How real are you? If you are wrong, like Mary Magdalene that day, nothing can move your heart. I tell you, Jesus will make you turn and appear in front of you. That's why Mary Magdalene became the first witness of the resurrection. He saw the Lord in his full glory. That is what intimacy is all about. Intimacy is, let's go together and see the Lord. No, she was alone. Intimacy is, let me have a sex scene. Let me see angels. No. Mary Magdalene was not interested in angels. Mary Magdalene was only interested in Jesus. And I believe that's what intimacy is all about. Only you. When that becomes the ultimate object of everything we do, I believe that is the simplest, clearest picture of what intimacy is all about. Any other picture is a wrong picture. Only this can we see the full glory of Jesus. Only Him. What do you want to see in life? Do you want to see Him so badly that you really make an all-out effort? effort, when you do, I guarantee you, you will see him. You see, in my younger days, the Lord spoke to my heart, give me 5 years of your life to be remain single, and you will see me. The time all my friends were already engaged in beggar relationship, they laughed at me. I was so sad. After church, they go out together. I was alone. I have to go home because the Lord was waiting for me at home. But that 5 years turned my life around, because in that 5 years, I died because my flesh cannot want what other people want. I have to remodify my whole structure of desires to only want Him. And when that is done, Jesus came and meet me. And I believe if that will happen to you, like Psalms 27 verse 4, only one thing will I seek, only one thing. If you reach the singleness of heart, I guarantee you, the truest and the deepest form of intimacy will be birth. To conclude, how do I summarize intimacy? Psalm 63 verse 1, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Now notice something, let me use a Hebrew word to explain to you. O Elohim, thou art my El. Elohim, we know, is a plural form of El, E-L, which is God, or the Almighty God. Elohim means the Creator. Genesis chapter 1, it was Elohim that created the heavens and the earth. Talks about the creative power of heaven. That's Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of divinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, oh, the divine counsel of the Trinity. Thou art my El, which is the Almighty God, the strength and the power, the almightiness in my life. Only will I seek thee. First, it talks about the deep things of God, Elohim. And he personalizes this deep things of God, Elohim, is my El. Then he say, the whole being of me, the innermost part of me, only will I seek him. Intimacy simply means deep, calleth unto the deep. The deeps in you seek for the deeps in God. Everything in you, the body, the soul, the spirit, runs everything in him, the Elohim, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and personalize it as he is now my possession. When that happens, that intimacy has now crystallized, chemicalized, is now yours. That is intimacy. The deeps in you, everything, the core of your being, you want him. When that happens, something in you will reach out for God, and something in God, the Elohim, will reach out to you. The reaching out is called the almighty power of the Holy Spirit. El means almighty. The almighty Spirit of God, the power of God, the gifts of God will reach to you, and you in him, and he in you. That's intimacy. To conclude, you know, Psalm 63 verse 8, my soul follow hard after thee. The word soul in the Hebrew, to every Jew scholar, they don't have a tripartite explanation of a man. They only have a dichotomy of a man, which means the flesh and the soul. The soul includes the heart and the spirit. The day that you are like David, my soul, which means my whole being, cleave for him. My whole being wants God. When that happens, something happens. You will be so near to God, it will surprise you. Because why? Because God will speak to you and you speak to him. And you can never be detached again. Hallelujah. tonight, you know what God is saying? Very simple. God is saying something like this. He say, what do you want? David say, God, you are my El. I want you. Tonight, God is saying the same thing to us. What do you really want? If you want a career, I can bless you. If you want to have a good job, I can bless you. You can have promotion, you can have an increased salary, you can be very blessed in your career. But is that all you want in life? What do you want, son? Oh, I want a bride. God can bless you with a girlfriend and a wife, and you'll be very blessed. If that's what you want, He can give it to you. You can live a very blessed life. But is that all you want? That's what God will say. Is that all you want? Is there anything else you want? Oh God, I want an anointing. Oh God will give you a ministry, an anointed ministry, a power of ministry, an international ministry. But above that, is that all you want? You know what God said? Is that all you want in life? What else do you want? You know what God is saying? God said, there's something I want from you. Please, critical, bigger than it. You are not me. You are not me. Above all things. People are very happy being a blessed Christian. I'm blessed in my career. I'm blessed in my financial breakthrough. Is that all you want? Intimacy is asking the thing that is deepest in the heart of God. When you say, I want you, that's struck the deepest chord in the strings of God's heart. Is that all you want? What do you want tonight? Let's be serious. What do you want tonight? If Solomon in a dream heard God say, what you want, I'll give to you. If God appeared to you now, what do you want? If you ask the wrong thing, you will live a life, a mediocre life, all the days of your life. But if you ask the wrong thing that thrills the heart of God, you will live the highest life. Intimacy is to live the highest life, in the highest pleasure, striking the highest note in the heart of God. What is intimacy? Intimacy is simply, I want to touch Him. If I want Him, I make Him happy. I want that thing in Him. I want to make God pleased. That's intimacy. And today most Christians are asking for blessing. They are asking for touch, asking for anointing, which is good. But that's not what God wants. God wants you. God wants our hearts. Can we give Him all of us so that we can have all of Him? So that Elohim, all of the divine being of God, the fullness of God, the complete God, is your possession? That's what He say. Do you want it? What do you want? That's intimacy. What do you want? Do you want Him or you want things? If you can answer this question in a very earnest way, you got the key on how you begin the pathway of intimacy. Let's pray. Face to face, I will seek your face. Face to face, I will worship you. Face to face, I will long after you. Face to face, I will run over you. Face to face, what will you say to Him? Face to face, He longs to hear your cry. Father, help us, Lord, not to be mighty, not just to be powerful, But Lord, that we have the grace to be intimate with you. Lord, above power, above the gifts, above the blessings, the financial breakthrough, above all things, give us this grace that we have such a passion for you. Tonight, Father, the reason why we worship, the reason why we pray, the reason why we read the Bible is just to find Christ. Lord, may we come here with a pure heart. And let the pure heart, pure desire remain in us all the days of our life, that we only want one thing. And that one thing that all of us will always treasure and maintain is to have only you in all of our being. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Your word has come like a lamp, shining in all the inner recesses of our hearts. You are speaking to us, Lord, tonight. You are making it known to us what you want from us and what should we crave after. Lord, our pursuit sometimes is misdirected, misaimed, moving in the wrong path, Lord. May you direct us, align us back into the true path where Apostle Paul, where Apostle Moses, Abraham, David, and many other mighty men have walked before us, and to have only you as our sole possession. Lord, in us we don't have it, but Lord, we ask from you tonight, Lord, make it real. Let it begin in our life, inch by inch, yard by yard, degree by degree, that we will grow more and more to love you, that our hearts will desire you, and our hearts will be more purified in the coming days. So Lord, as you have spoken, may your grace, we pray, be made real before us. We are weak, Lord, we don't have this. But Lord, we ask you to give it to us. Baptize us with love. Put on that garment, that cloak of the Holy Spirit upon us, that we may set our love on you. This is our cry. This is our prayer. And may this be our lifetime pursuit. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.